Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning here in the middle of this chapter, where Moses, here the retelling of the law in Deuteronomy, and Moses reminding the people he himself was not going into the promised land, but when they do enter into the promised land, here's what he says in part, verse 23, "Take care, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make a carved image, the form of anything that the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. When you father children and children's children and have grown old in the land, if you act corruptly by making a carved image in the form of anything, and by doing what is evil in the sight of the Lord your God, so as to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that you will soon utterly perish from the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. You will not live long in it, but will be utterly destroyed. The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods of wood and stone and the work of human hands that neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in tribulation and all these things come upon you in the latter days, you will return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not leave you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your fathers that he swore to them." Friends, we know that we live in a land of plenty. And yet, in our day, in our culture, our people here in Canada are under this judgment of God because they're turning to idols of all kinds. And when you read Romans chapter 1, you see the description of our culture today, do we not? Where God is giving people over to dishonorable passions and to a debased mind. And so his wrath is being revealed from heaven upon all the ungodliness, all the unrighteousness in our land today. It is so evident. What do? Certainly we do not provoke the Lord to anger by participating in the idolatry. But neither should we forget that some among these very people are God's elect, God's chosen people, and they will turn from their wicked ways and they will receive mercy from God if they seek the Lord with all their heart and all their soul. We ourselves need to seek the Lord in these evil days. And that's what I want to talk about this evening. Seeking the Lord, not just in these evil days, but all the days of our lives. What it means to seek the Lord. Because we ourselves can be like these Israelites, we can so easily fall in to idolatry and turn away from the Lord. But in seeking the Lord, we return to him, lest we continue and provoke his jealousy. For we read here that he is a consuming fire. This evening, we will study this theme of seeking the Lord. Now, you may wonder, what does it mean really to seek or search for the Lord? Because the Lord certainly is not lost. He's not hidden from us. We are the ones who are lost in our fallen condition. We need to be found. And so God sent his Son, the Son of Man, to seek and to save the lost so that we could be found in Him and by Him. And so really it is on us to be found. And yet the scriptures speak of us seeking the Lord to find Him. It's because when we are found in Him, He gives us those desires to seek for Him and to search for Him, that we would find Him. So what does it mean to seek the Lord? Under four headings in our study this evening, we'll look at the purpose of seeking the Lord. Then the problems that we encounter, the hindrances in seeking the Lord. Thirdly, the practice, and how do we seek the Lord? And we'll have four subheadings there. And then the promise to those who seek the Lord. So first of all, why should we seek the Lord? What is the purpose in seeking the Lord? First of all, seeking the Lord, we read in the scriptures that it means to seek Him, to seek His face. And that word face is actually the same word as presence in Hebrew. So when we seek His face, we are seeking His presence as we seek the Lord. Psalm 24, verse 6. Such is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Psalm 27, verse 8. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, I seek. So to be before His face, the face of God, is to be in His presence, to be before Him. So the purpose in seeking Him is to find Him in His presence. You've heard maybe this Latin phrase, coram Deo, means before the face of God, presenting ourselves before God. It means to present ourselves in the presence of God, under His authority. And as we do present ourselves before Him, it is to give Him the honor and the glory that is due to Him alone. Now, we are not always, or are we, let me ask you the question, are we always in the presence of God? We sang from Psalm 139. In a sense, God is everywhere. Children, what does the Children's Catechism say? Have you heard this question? Where is God? Answer, one word, everywhere. God is everywhere. God is omnipresent. He is in every place. And yet, as though God is, even though God is transcendent in the sense that He is far above the heavens, as Lord God Almighty in the heavens, independent of us, as Creator, He is also imminent. He is also near and accessible among us as He fills the universe by His Spirit. This is in contrast with a pantheistic worldview that God is immersed in the fabric of creation. But that's pantheism. But there is a distinction between the Creator and the creation. And yet God is present in all His creation. But there's another sense of God's presence. And that is a sense that we are seeking. This presence, and that is that He is present with His children in a covenantal way, in His commitment to His people, where He promises that He will always be with us. He will never forsake us, even to the end of the age, as Jesus promised His disciples in the Great Commission. So God is present in particular with us, and yet we are to seek Him. For we are not always in His presence. So we must seek Him while He still may be found. And as we seek Him, as we search for Him, we encounter hindrances and obstacles, problems. And that's the second point. What are the obstacles in seeking the Lord? The problem is with us. We are the problem. The sin in our lives is the problem. And sin breaks that fellowship with God. It fractures our fellowship with Him. Ever since from the very beginning, Adam and Eve, in disobeying God, eating the forbidden fruit, immediately they sensed that separation. They hid from the presence of God in their shame, sense of guilt and fear. There was a break in that fellowship with God. And only repentance faith in Jesus Christ restores that fellowship, a turning away from sin, sorrow, shame, hatred, as we confess that sin before God, and then turning to God in faith through His blood in the only way that is given to us through Christ into His holy presence. Now, when that fellowship is broken, what do? You can sense it, can you not? When that fellowship that you have, intimate fellowship with the Father, is broken, what do? Do you seek for that fellowship to be renewed again? That's seeking the Lord, to find Him again. Acts chapter 3, Peter preaches to the crowd in the temple and he says, "Return, repent, turn back that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." This is what we're seeking in our repentance, is to be returning to the presence of the Lord. Let me tell you, when we lived in South Sudan, there was a period of time where I was quite distant. God was seen far, and I was searching my heart, and I found bitterness in my heart. And it was because of unforgiveness. Someone had said something against me, accused me of something that was falsely accused me of something, and anger, bitterness was like a cancer that was eating away at me. And it was eroding that fellowship with God. Have you had that experience before? Your own heart, that's the problem, keeping you from that intimate fellowship with the Father. And so, as we know, sin is so deceitful, it can break that fellowship. What is it with you that is keeping that intimacy from being refreshed continually, daily? Because as bitterness remains, as envy or jealousy or covetousness, anger, whatever it is, it keeps us from that intimate fellowship with Him. You know, there are some things that are not necessarily sinful in themselves that will dull that desire, that fervor in seeking the Lord. There are certain times where we are in the midst of our lives, daily lives, and the thought of God is the furthest thing from us. So what are those things that either keep you away from God or dull those affections and your desire for Him? And in those moments, those are the times when we're most susceptible to sinning and falling into all kinds of temptation, when we forget God, who is there. He's there, near, accessible to us. That's when we must return to Him and seek Him more than ever. And let's look at the practice of seeking the Lord. How do we seek the Lord? Having a conscious sense of God's presence is not a constant experience, is it? Perhaps you're there. I'm not. Parts of the day or seasons of life, we can be neglectful of God. And even perhaps having no thought of Him. Perhaps you've heard of the phrase practical atheism. This is somehow at times the way we live, as though God is not there, that we don't believe in God. Just the way we live our lives, that He's not somehow present there. And that is the most dangerous position for us to be, because God is there and He is judge. He's merciful. But He's a judge of our thoughts, of our words, of our actions. We can't hide from God. We can't escape from God. He's there. He's present. Even in hell, children, God is there. With the difference that in hell, there's no mercy. It's only God's judgment. So whether you're young or old, now is the time to seek the Lord. Now is the time to seek Him while He may be found. in mercy and grace. Because through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, now is when we can enter in to that new and living way through the blood of Jesus Christ into the holy presence of God. And as we enter in, what we are doing is seeking the Lord. That's the practice of seeking the Lord, is entering into His presence. So whether this is something that you are new to seeking the Lord, entering in, or if you have been seeking the Lord for decades, you know that you want this to become a more continual practice in your life through the same opened way to you in seeking the Lord. So how exactly do we seek the Lord? Our starting point has to be the revelation that God has given to us and in God's telling us of how to seek Him. First of all, in creation. We can't neglect in creation, general revelation. Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it says, God's invisible attributes, His eternal power and His divine nature have been clearly perceived in all that He has made, and so all are without excuse. So that when we look at creation, the beauty of God's creation, that should stir our hearts to seek God. When you see the snow blanketing the earth and the beauty of the clean white snow, what do you think of? Do you think of how your sins, though they are like scarlet, they have been made white like snow? Your sins are covered. Now you're turning to Isaiah, special revelation, and that's where we want to turn to, knowing what God has revealed to us in His Word, special revelation, specific revelation, to accurately know how to seek the Lord. Through His Word, we are directed in how to seek the Lord, and that is in four ways. So four sub-points here to seek the practice of seeking the Lord. First of all, we seek the Lord humbly. Humbly. Psalm 10:4 says, in the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. But the one who does seek him is the opposite, is the one who's humble, who comes humbly. You know, kings in the ancient days would prescribe a way in which they could be approached. King, for example, Ahasuerus of Persia, massive kingdom from India to Kush. You may know him in the book of Esther. Queen Esther says that if any servant went into the king's presence, that is actually a commentary there in Esther, or into the inner court without being called, would be put to death unless the king would hold out his golden scepter. That's the only way you could approach the king, unless he held out his golden scepter. If you came and approached him in any other manner, you would be put to death. So how do we approach God? Holy, holy, holy God. Unless we come in the manner in which He has prescribed. God cannot accept anyone into His presence, one who is full of pride. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says, God opposes the proud, but then He gives grace to the humble. He will only stretch out, in a sense, that scepter of grace to those who come humbly seeking Him. So we humble ourselves under the hand, the mighty hand of God, seeking Him humbly. That's the first way we seek the Lord. Secondly, we seek the Lord deliberately. Deliberately, we must make a conscious choice of directing our minds and our hearts toward God as we seek the Lord. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 19, as David was commanding all the leaders of Israel to help his son Solomon to build the temple, this is what he says, now set your mind and heart to seek the Lord your God. This call to deliberately focus is a focus of our minds, our hearts, so our minds' attention, our hearts' affections on God, seeking Him for who he is. And all that he is, and all his perfections, his greatness, his majesty, his beauty, his worth. This is what we are seeking in him, but very focused and deliberate as we seek him. So where should our minds go as we seek him? Where should it be focused? In the ancient days, the Jews would turn, perhaps they do still now, turn to Jerusalem. Facing Jerusalem, where do we turn to? Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 2 says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth." This is where we are directing our thoughts and our hearts, is heavenward, where Christ is, where we cry out to him. We seek him deliberately. Thirdly, we seek the Lord earnestly. We do not seek the Lord, again, as though he's lost. We don't search for him or call upon him as though he doesn't hear us. We are seeking the Lord, calling upon him, knowing that he can be found. We come to him earnestly. Earnestly. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." There's an earnestness here that I'll show you. But first of all, we use a phrase at times, "I'm just a phone call away." Perhaps you've said that. "I'm just a phone call away." What do you mean by that when you say that? You mean, "I'm available. Call me anytime." You want to assure them of that. "I'm just a phone call away." What about God? When you call on him, he's so much more than speaking to him on the phone. He is there with you anytime, any place. When you call upon him, he is near. When you call upon him in earnest, seeking him. Here are a couple of references. The prophet Jeremiah writes a letter to those in exile in Babylon. After 70 years were completed, the Lord says, "You will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you, and you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." All your heart. Our seeking is from the heart. Earnestly from the heart, and we will find him. Back to our reading in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Moses is warning, and he's even predicting, that when the people of Israel enter the promised land, they will forsake the Lord, their God, and they will serve lifeless idols. But in verse 29, he says, "But from there, you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search for him with all your heart and with all your soul." With all that you are, seeking him. A seeking that leads to finding is a seeking that is earnest. Earnest, with all the heart and with all the soul. So, it's seeking him humbly, deliberately, earnestly. And then finally, fourthly, seeking him continually. Continually. Psalm 105, verse 4. "Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually." The command to seek the Lord always is similar to this command to pray without ceasing, to pray always. Now, how are you doing with that? Is your prayer life continual, continuous? Is your seeking the Lord continuous? Is it continual? Perhaps as a new believer, it's 5 minutes a day. And that's the start. If you're a more mature believer, you're seeking to elongate that into the moments of your day. Every moment, seeking the Lord. If you've ever watched the first violins, these are the best violin players, violinists. We've seen them at the NAC Orchestra, And it seems as though, as you watch them play their instrument, it seems as though their violin is part of their body. It seems so natural, so easy when they're playing. And that's because they are experts. An expert is someone who has spent 10,000 hours practicing. Children, think of how many hours you've put into piano so far. Well, to become an expert, to play in the NAC orchestra, 10,000 hours. How do we become experts in prayer, in seeking the Lord? It's through practice. It's doing it continually, and it becomes more and more natural and habitual for us. It will become more natural in every part of every moment of our day. As we look back here, the practice of seeking the Lord, think of four other pictures for us here. First of all, the posture. We come seeking the Lord with a posture of humility. And then we have that position, deliberately directing ourselves to God in heaven, seeking the things that are above where Christ is. And then with a heart full of passion, earnestness, in seeking the Lord with all our heart and with all our soul. And then with perseverance, continually seeking Him as He may be, as He is near. So to repeat the purpose, the problems, the practice, and now finally, we have promises extended to us as we practice seeking the Lord. The promise extended to us, the great promise to those who seek the Lord, is that He will be found by us when we seek Him. First Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9, if you seek Him, He will be found by you. And when He is found, you will find the great reward of your soul. Hebrews 11, verse 6, whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who diligently seek after Him. And what is that great reward? Who are you seeking? You will find Him. If you're seeking the Lord, you will find Him, and He is your reward as you find Him. The Lord promised Abraham that I am your exceedingly great reward. He's the one presented before us, that if we have Him, we have all. There's nowhere else to go. When we have Him, we are satisfied. He's our greatest reward. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. How exceeding is this reward? Let me ask you this question. What would you give up to have Him? Would you give up all your possessions? Would you give up your family? Would you give up your career? Would you give up your education? Whatever it is, would you give it up so that you could have Him? Jesus went to a young man, very rich man. We call him the young rich ruler. And He asked him to give up the one thing that he treasured the most, his great reward, his riches, his wealth. And he couldn't do it. Give it away, give it to the poor, follow me. He couldn't do it. What is the one thing that Jesus is asking you to give up for Him as you seek Him? Because He wants all of you as you seek Him. He is going to give all of Himself to you. We have idols in our lives that prevent us from having God as supreme in our lives, that He wants you to forsake in order to find Him. People all around us in our land, our neighbors here, they are earnest, they are deliberate, they are continuous in their pursuit of pleasure, power, position, whatever it is. They are earnest, seeking those things with all their heart, with all their soul. when the greatest pleasure of all is what I'm proclaiming to you, what you proclaim to them, that they can find, that you can find, and that when you have Him, you don't have a sense or a need. When you truly find Him, you do not desire to seek anything else but Him. So from here, we go seeking the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, and enjoy His presence this week and forever.